Since the Apple Computer Company was founded 5 years ago, its sales have skyrocketed from about $100,000 to more than $100 million. Steve Jobs helped build the first Apple computer in his garage. He is now 26 years old and is chairman of the board. And he sees his computer's future as the future of mankind.
This is a 21st century bicycle that amplifies a certain intellectual ability that man has. And I think that the after this process has come to maturity, the effects that it's going to have on society are actually going to far outstrip even those that the petrochemical revolution has had.
Hello! And welcome to the Hillcast Best 30 plus minute app conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Erfan Elijah. Joining me today, his Cupertino codename is Beard Force One. But around these parts, we call him Buster Kiney.
Hey.
Also joining us tonight, he'll be doing keg stands with Tim Cook and the team. Leander Caney's here.
Hello, Erfan. Hello, Buster.
You're like, you're about to leave for San Jose, right?
I'm just about to go down there, yeah. Gonna zip down there to party all night.
You lucky dog. Are you going down there on your bike?
No, I'm gonna go in the car. It's a bit too far.
You should probably take an Uber down there, I'm thinking.
Oh my goodness, yeah. That'll only be like $300, $400, $500.
In a sleeping bag, so you can crash in whatever alley you pass out in. What am I saying? You'll be on Tim Cook's calfskin couch, probably sleeping soundly.
I mean, tucks me in, yeah.
Yeah, he'll tuck you in.
He'll put on the new HomePod speakers, so a little, nice little lullaby to.
Definitely. He takes good care of his guests, for sure. Well, this is either going to be the best show we've ever done or the worst. I'm not sure which. There's so much stuff to talk about. I mean, how long do they go on for? 2.5 hours today?
Yeah, it was a marathon. It was exhausting.
Yeah. It was. I think you could tell the energy level towards the end was getting to be kind of low, because by the time they actually said the word HomePod, there was like five guys who went woo, and that was it.
I was like,
they were done.
We almost done. Sweet.
A smattering of clapping. I think I heard some guy dry coughing in the back. So it was a marathon, and they were motor mouthing too. I mean, they were talking a mile a minute. I think Craig Federighi could barely keep up. His brain could barely keep up with what his mouth was trying to do.
Right. He kept
stumbling and stuff. So here's what we're going to do. We're just going to touch on our impressions of the events. We're coming off this. It just happened. And then we're going to do some of our takeaways, our best of shows, if you will. And we're definitely going to miss stuff. There's no way we can fit everything into this show. I mean, it took them 2.5 hours, and they were talking like the Micro Machines, man. And we're not going to have nearly that amount of time. So I'm sure there'll be stuff after this show that we will get into more detail. I have a lot of questions about a lot of different things. And there's a lot of things that they just kind of touched on quickly and then moved on. And you were kind of left scratching your head waiting for more detail.
Like almost everything, right?
Yeah, like just about everything. Except for maybe the iMac Pro. That was like the one thing they actually gave a good amount of time. And so anyway, before we do that, let's talk a little bit about the Apple Watch store. I should say the Cult of Mac. Apple Watch store. Leander, tell us, you got some good stuff going on right now, right?
Yeah, we got some really good stuff going on. We got a couple of sales going on right now on the Cult of Mac Watch store, 20 to 30% off of Ulu products. This is a company out of the Middle East that makes really nice leather bands, and they make some really nice exotic bands too that are really cool, that are really, really worth checking out. And it's a really good savings, 30% off. That's a great, great deal.
And there are cool bands, and then there are more the exotic bands, like the ones with like actual hair on them. Like, wasn't there like a cow skin with like that still has like cow hair on it?
Yeah, and there's some tiger looking ones and some leopard branded stuff. And they're not actually real tiger skin or leopard skin.
It's that's unfortunate.
It's been dyed, but they have that look, and they're pretty hairy. They're very, very unusual looking, very unique. I think quite eye-catching. Definitely worth checking out. But we have a lot of stuff. We've been adding a whole bunch of new products to the store. We've got quite a few things on sale right now. We've got these really nice leather bands from Italy that are selling really well. We've got some nice ones from New York, from a company called Berkeley that are selling really well. And we have these great bands from Duke, which is a Hong Kong company. They have these aluminum bands called the Ligero. They are really good. Looking. Yeah, they're awesome. They're like, and they're really cheap. I mean, they're definitely comparable to Apple's steel bands. And these ones are $120 compared to like $450 from Apple.
Plus 30% off that right now on some of the stuff, right?
They're not on sale. Those ones aren't on sale, but we're going to be putting them on sale shortly. In fact, we just sent an email to we just contacted the vendor, so hopefully they'll be going on sale very soon. But if not, there's still a steal even at 120.
The quality looks to be very, very good.
They're really nice. I've got one on right now. I really like it. It's my favorite watch band.
How much is the Apple stainless steel link bracelet?
$450. Yeah, it's a lot of money.
Okay, that's at store.cultivemac.com, right, Leander?
Yep, that's it.
store.cultivemac.com. Is there any coupon code or anything they need, or the discounts are just applied at checkout?
The details are on our blog post. I have to put them in the show notes.
Great. Okay, so let's just move right into the show here. Let's talk about WWDC. Ay, caramba! What a spicy show. I was moved. I was excited. I was at sometimes overwhelmed. It was like watching the last Lord of the Rings movie, extended edition.
Yeah.
At the very end, Frodo leaves, and everyone's sad, and you're sitting there complete catharsis. That's what I had. We got pretty much everything that we have been talking about for months. I mean, it was just one thing after another. It's like, check, check, check. The only thing that we didn't get was the MacBook Air refresh. That was, I think,
they actually did today. They updated the chip.
They did.
And we even got a price cut. I couldn't believe that. I started laughing. I was burst out laughing when they dropped the price on one of the MacBooks.
But yeah, I think the price cut is because they lowered the storage option on that price point.
Yeah.
So it's not really like an awesome price
cut. It's kind of a fake price cut.
Yeah.
So we're talking about the 13-inch MacBook Pro. And we actually even talked about this on the show because it hadn't been selling as well as they were hoping it would. And I think they cut the price of it, $300? And as Buster mentioned, they also dropped the amount of storage available from 256 gigs to 128 gigs. So I think it is a price cut, but it's also cutting out features to get you to that price. So I don't know exactly how exciting it is. But anyway, Leander, you did some, I'm sure, extremely concise and exhilarating piece on Cult of Mac about your impressions. So what was your feeling coming out of the presentation? How did you feel, you know, going into it? How did you feel coming out of it?
I've never seen a keynote, I don't think, that had so much stuff in it. And like you said, they were motor mouthing. I mean, they were going so fast that Tim Cook and Craig were running on and off the stage. You know, they were running on, they'd motor mouth through a bunch of new features, and then they'd run off, and then they'd have something else. And it was exhausting, you know, because at 2.5 hours, they covered a lot of ground. I mean, there was like, more than a dozen new hardware options, new hardware.
I don't even know.
Upgrades.
I don't even. They updated everything.
Yeah, right. And then all this new software, and they didn't even touch on. You know, they just called out a few unique features. I mean, it's like the App Store upgrade, right? You know, they've redesigned the App Store, and they talk a lot about the new design for the App Store. But then they flashed up a couple of slides, and there were dozens and dozens of changes. You know, including stuff that I think is really significant for developers, which I'm surprised they didn't call out, which is like stuff like, you know, free demos, upgrade pricing, which is a lot of the stuff that the developers have been asking for forever, to try and turn the App Store into, you know, a better place for you know, ongoing software development. So, you know, and that was true of all the stuff they did, you know, like all the APIs. And some of it is really, really big deal stuff, I think, like all the AR stuff, all the machine learning stuff, you know, the machine learning APIs are opening up a machine learning capabilities to developers. And then there's the HomePod speakers. You know, I mean, my goodness, there was a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff.
Tantric level self-control. Not going into more detail on these things.
Yeah.
I mean, you're right. They would touch on something and they would show a slide with 30 details that really you would love to hear more about.
Right.
Because there was so much packed on there. And
then
they would just be like, Tim Cook would come out with a high five and they would move on to the next thing. Buster, what was your feeling leaving the event?
Oh man, I thought it was pretty dope. Got a lot of the features I wanted to see on iPad, so I think that was one of the biggest things. So they finally made the iPad more of a PC replacement with system-wide drag and drop and stuff like that. And It was a surprise how much hardware was announced too, I thought, which was, you know, was crazy. Like you're saying, all the details were just touched on. They didn't even talk about TVOS 11, which I'm not sure what's in it other than Amazon Prime Video.
We still don't know. We just had them do a presentation on software and we still don't know what's in it.
Yeah.
Or maybe that's it. Maybe that's the upgrade for TVOS 11 is Amazon Instant Video. That's going to be it. Yeah. This was, I mean, if you can't tell, I'm like sitting here breathless. This was the most exciting WWDC I can recall.
Yeah.
It was just one thing after another. And, you know, I don't feel like I got everything that I wanted, but I do think we got everything that we were expecting. And it was absolutely jam-packed. I think this is exactly what Apple needed. They needed to have an exciting event. And there's so much stuff in here. I think we're going to be unpacking it for months, probably until September. There's just going to be so much detail to unearth and go through and little tidbits that we probably missed and so many questions that need to be answered. It's going to be a fun few months trying to figure out exactly what we have in store over the next several months. But rather than dive into every single little nitty-gritty detail, let's talk about our high-level, best-of-show takeaways, things that when they talked about, you know, really resonated with us. And let's just do a roundtable, and when we get bored, we can stop. what was your big thing?
Well, funny, you know, Buzz already mentioned it. I think the new software features on the iPad.
Yeah.
I think, you know, the combination of the split screen, the drag and the dropping, the different, the dock. I mean, the dock, they talked about the dock, right? And I was like, that was really surprising when he mentioned the dock. The way he dropped it in there, like you already knew about it. Was it like already in some beta or something? I was like, you know, what the heck? Where did that come from? That looks like a really good way. And it's funny because it's right out of Mac OS, you know. It looks like a really good way to switch apps. And it's like, well, heck, why didn't they do that before? I think it's going to be really make a big difference, you know, those different features, you know, how you use it and make it really a pro machine. I was also surprised as well at the pencil, you know, like the stylus is now front and center for, you know, sort of serious content creation on the iPad. You know, Steve Jobs is going to be rolling over in his grave, isn't he? I mean, you know, they, you see a stylus, you know,
it's
they
like
blew
Uber
it.
Stylus too.
Yeah. But like all the demos, all the videos, they all had a stylus in it. That guy making that movie poster for the Pirates of the Caribbean. You know, I mean, that was all done with a pencil. And in those videos, when they're showing off, people working on the iPad Pro, it was all pencil. And the new handwriting recognition in Notes, that's going to be. I think that might make a big difference for me, because I think, you know, I can totally see. Like I'd like to take notes on the iPad, but it's not that useful unless, you know, it does some OCR in it, unless it can recognize it and turn it into searchable text, which it can do now. So I think that's a big game changer, really, for me, anyway.
You know, people always mention that stylus thing and Steve Jobs saying, you know, that we'll never have a stylus and styluses are the worst thing. I think that he was talking about stylus as an interaction method, and even though you can use the stylus to interact with your iPad, it's more like a tool for creation.
Right.
It kind of seems like not. It's not the same thing to me.
He was talking about it like for the iPhone, you know, because he was comparing it to the old Palm Pilots. You remember the Palm Pilot? We had to do that graffiti. Right. And, you know, I think he was comparing it to that sort of previous generation of smart devices, you know, for something like an iPhone, for an organizer or a phone. That in that context, you know, I think these days he would totally have embraced the stylus for a pro level, you know, like a graphics tablet. You know, this is essentially what it is, and it's doing all that stuff you do. You know, like that people did use graphics people do use graphic tablets for, you know, photo, video editing, high level stuff, 3D, CAD. Like if you look at the way he made that poster, you know, like I don't do that kind of work, but. It's clearly, I think there's a new workflow emerging on the iPad that is maturing enough that you can get really serious work done using your fingers and a pencil, you know, instead of using a mouse and a graphics tablet on a computer. You can use a combination of your fingers and a pencil on the iPad, and I think in a lot of ways it looks like a simpler, cleaner, clearer workflow because you're directly manipulating what's on the screen rather than fiddling around with something, you know. You know, that kind of level of abstraction when you use a mouse. So I think it's really interesting. I think it's really, you know, like you said, they made the point a couple of times that it really does bring it to the next level. And the impression I got, at least from the brief demos and from the videos we saw during the keynote, that it really is a laptop, or in fact, a desktop, pro-level desktop alternative.
It feels like they finally made the iPad more of a pro tool.
Right.
Instead of just calling it the iPad Pro, like there are actual pro utilities for it
now.
And they it's interesting to see it, the amalgamation of macOS and iOS happening here on stage today, where they are doing their best to macOSify the iPad. I'm not totally convinced I'm going to be happy with the solutions that they proposed. I mean, they have that new file sharing app, which looks cool. They had the new way to multitask, which looks cool. But I want to play with it first. It was like seeing the Surface Studio, the Microsoft Surface Studio, for the first time, where it looked really shiny and magical, and it would look like something I would want to use every day. But until you actually use it, it's kind of hard to make any determinations how effective that stuff really is. Because ultimately, they're trying to mimic what happens on the Mac, and I want to see how well they mimic
it. Yeah, I don't know if they're mimicking it, but it's like they've definitely taken some cues, haven't they? Some of the sort of best practices and made it much more flexible.
I think they're just improving your ability to get work done on the Mac. Switching, like, because I tried to use the iPad Pro as my main machine for a while and then gave up on it because it's so hard switching between apps, getting content. Like, simple things like pictures from one app to another can just be a pain. And doing really simple tasks can just take way longer than it should. So I think, they, like Leander's saying, they're borrowing some, like, elements that are familiar from macOS, but I think it's really being used in different ways to help solve, like, workflow problems.
Yeah. And I think that's why they took them so long to do things like drag and drop, right? Because they had to do it, you know, you've got to really think about it really carefully and really cleverly. And, you know, it was totally Minority Report, you know, when he's grabbing pictures and then he was dragging other pictures so he could grab a selection of pictures to drag them over. And you could see that that takes a little time, I think. You know, the easy thing would do it one at a time, but then what happens if you want to drag a bunch of, you know, items from one window to another? And I think that seems like a very clever solution that they really thought out.
I think this is the first time, like, the interface is, like, truly multi-touch. Like, you can grab, I saw another screenshot somebody posted, you can grab multiple apps, like, when you are deleting them and move them as a group over to a different spot together. So there's a lot of different elements that are new with it as well.
Cool. Yeah.
All right, Buster, big takeaway for you?
I mean, iOS 11 looks really awesome. I mean, I think there were so many little things on iOS 11 that make it really good. Like the customizable control center. Like, I already downloaded iOS 11 this afternoon and put it on my device. I think so far, hands down, the best thing is like the new customizable control center where you can add your own buttons, like toggles for low battery mode, the new do not disturb while driving mode, your wallet, all kinds of different stuff. So it's kind of like the quick, like, control, like a remote control to, like, all the short tasks you need on your iPhone.
That control panel, that new control panel, was beautiful. That one screen design, just having everything be present on that one page without having to flip through everything. And the fact, they didn't even bring this up, but I think you just mentioned it, that you can customize, like, the widgets within control panel and move things around. So you can have it, you know, be more relevant to how you actually use your phone. Like, I would probably have like a HomeKit widget on there so I can control lights and do that type of thing. I also like how you can have like the button or the volume slider right there, and you can just touch it and increase like the level of lights for like your smart lights or for the volume and whatever you're listening to. I thought it looked really cool. And a takeaway for me, one of the things I thought looked really cool, and you just mentioned it, Buster, was the do not disturb while driving. We've needed something like this
for a long time.
Yeah, for a long time. I mean, people need some kind of kick to not use their iOS device in the car while they're driving. And we all do it, right? People probably don't do it most of the time, would be my guess. But everyone does it once in a while, especially if a notification comes in. It's like, oh, Buster just posted a shirtless selfie on Instagram. I got to go hit that right now. I'm not waiting, right? That notification comes in. I'm sliding. I don't care what I'm doing. So to not see that notification is going to be the only way that I can keep my eyes focused on the road and not on the sweet areolas Buster has that like, have the perfect amount of tan to them. Okay, Leander, what else you got for us?
So I'm in some notes here. I'm trying to read them. I can't read my notes.
Are they like 16 pages long to scribble?
I like the quick type on the keyboard. I thought that was another very clever.
That was cool, wasn't it?
Yeah, and kind of a long time. You know, you're talking about the driving mode. I mean, they've had that on an Android forever, haven't they? That's been part of Google now for a long time. And, you know, it's funny how it's taken so long to come to.
Oh, Lord, we're never going to hear the end of that.
I know, yeah.
That's going to be the only thing that we read in the Cultimac comments for the next 2 months.
Right, all the hate, yeah.
Is all the Android guys telling us how they've had all these features since, I don't know, Jelly Club or whatever version of Android.
Right, but I don't know if it's like, you know, but as I pointed out in the keynote, that no one upgrades, so, yeah. You know, maybe most Android users don't have it either because it's only on the latest ones, but I mean, you know, their devices are stuck on some way old KitKat or whatever it is.
What about Apple person to person? Apple Pay person to person.
Yeah, that'll be super useful.
That's gonna change the game.
Just because it's gonna make it so old people use it. Like, you know, I already use Venmo and Square Cash with friends and stuff.
But now that it's gonna be on, use Apple Pay than Square Cash.
Oh, totally. And that's, I think it'll make it take off like huge because then everybody's gonna be using it. Like, I can send money to my mom or something. You know.
Send money to your mom. You mean your mom send money to you?
Yeah, that would be cool. Like, yeah, whatever.
That's right. Mom, what did they meant to say?
Yeah, exactly.
Mom, where's my $5? My rent money. Birthday. Grandma.
That's what you do through iMessage. That seems really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, doing it through iMessage makes a lot of sense. And the adoption amongst people who probably don't use digital pay services is going to make it way more ubiquitous. And it's going to do away, hopefully, I'm daydreaming here. I'm imagining it's going to work as well as they proposed on stage. But it's going to do away with all these archaic banking pay systems that everyone's using. Like, I was trying to pay my aunt, this is months ago, and we had to go back and forth for like 15 minutes to try to figure out how I can just send her, you know, like $20 because she doesn't use PayPal. And if you don't use PayPal and she doesn't use Venmo, then how do you do it? There's no easy, clear way to do it. And having it be built into iMessage makes a lot of sense. It's going to make a lot of people's lives a lot easier. If I were Square Cash right now, I would be nervous. Because why do you need Square Cash if Apple just Sherlocked it? You know?
Right. They Sherlocked a lot of things, didn't they?
They Sherlocked a lot of things, yeah. That's
really bad. I felt really bad for a lot of people. Like,
I mean, speaking of Sherlock, the new HomePod. What's Sonos going to do now?
Well, Sonos has, you know, they have a fuller product line. I was just thinking about this, and I was thinking, well, you know, I'm really tempted by the Apple HomePod, and it does look awesome. There's a lot of really nice stuff in it. But, you know, I've got like several different Sonoses, including that new Play Bar underneath the TV. Mm-hmm. And Apple doesn't have anything to answer for that yet, you know. So I'm going to be loath to get rid of that, to replace it with a HomePod. Along with all my other Sonos speakers. And of course, you can just connect an Echo Dot to it for $50, right? And if you've already got some Sonos speakers lying around. And so you can sort of get kind of like a smart speaker with an Amazon Echo Dot and a Sonos.
Well, that's the ticket, isn't it? I mean, if you already have a speaker, you're not going to go out and invest in Sonos. But maybe you are looking for something a little bit more sophisticated. And I would compare the HomePod to like the Notes app versus Evernote. It's something that's probably good for most people's needs, but for someone who wants something that's more sophisticated, they're going to go to Sonos and get something that probably... Well, I'm going to guess the Sonos sound better. I mean, I haven't heard the HomePod, but my guess is that the Sonos sounds better.
Yeah, well, the Sonos, you can get a couple of big beefy ones. They have the Sonos, the 5, which is really big, and that's a room-shaking, you know, speaker, and it does sound glorious. I mean, all their speakers sound great, even the little satellite ones. And especially if you put them into combination, you know. So I've got a Play Bar, which is the flat one that goes underneath your TV, and then a couple of satellites. And I mean, that's a room rock. That does vibrate the whole room and fills the room with sound. We were watching the basketball game last night, and you can hear all the sounds. It's like being on the court. You know, you can hear all the music and all the noise of the crowd. And, you know, it is an amazing experience. It's great. I was going to say about the home, but it's funny though that no one's done this yet. You know, Apple was saying at the very beginning. You know, when Phil Schiller introduced the whole segment, he's saying they wanted to come in. So, you know, you've got Sonos on one hand, but they're dumb speakers, or they're not smart speakers. Mm-hmm. And then you've got Amazon, which is a smart speaker, but it's not a very very good speaker. You know, and we want to be somewhere in the middle. And it's, well, exactly. You know, they really have hit the sweet spot. And it's like, what took everyone else so long to, you know, why aren't other people doing this? You know, people are more nimble than Apple. It is kind of funny, isn't it? I mean, that. I guess it's only been, how long has it been since the Alexa took off, you know, the Echo? I mean, I guess 18 months or so. But Sonos really kind of sort of, you know, is kind of in danger of missing the boat. I mean, they've really got to, they've got to add smarts to the speakers soon, or they're just not in the, it's table stakes.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? I mean, Sonos is good at the speaker and Amazon is good at the smarts, but no one has the, it seems, the talent or the ability to create one that does
to do
both
the both.
Well.
Yeah. Well, there's a bunch of. I've seen some Echo powered speakers. You know, I saw some at this Pepcom event that I went to, but they're all kind of smaller. You know, there's a few now. I mean, you can add it to things like Ultimate Ears. You know, they have their speaker line, and they're beautiful Bluetooth speakers. They're portable speakers. The what's it called? The Smart Boom.
I think that is the UI Smart Boom or something like that.
Yeah, well, they have a Siri integration, so if you press the button on it, it'll light up Siri on your phone, mm-hmm. and then you can talk into it. But there's that awful Siri delay.
Yeah,
you know that you don't get that with Alexa. So it's kind of you gotta hit the button, then you wait for a couple of seconds for it to go ding ding, and then you speak to it, and then you wait, and then it does or doesn't do what you asked it to do.
I'm gonna go out on a limb and say, Leander, you're gonna buy a HomePod.
Well, yeah.
Of course.
I'm going to check it out for sure.
Yeah. I'm going to get one too. I'm probably going to sell. I have two Echoes. I'll probably sell one. Echo, stop. He can't even say its name. It's just too sensitive.
Jumped up.
It immediately lit up, but I didn't want it to start talking to me. So I'll probably sell one of them and buy the HomePod. You know what's funny is it looked exactly like it did in the mock-ups. Exactly. Huh. With the little screen on top. And remember, we were talking, I don't know, 2-3 shows ago, and we were like, there's no way they'd put a screen on top. That doesn't make any sense. Well, it's because the screen doesn't do anything. All it does is show the little Siri a glowing aura, and that's it. Looks to be that's all it does.
I think it has touch sensitive buttons on it too.
It does have touch sensitive buttons on it.
I think so. Yeah.
Does it actually have a display that you can interact with? Like, does it look like an iPhone or something?
No,
that?
I think you can just press on buttons on the. I don't know. I just read on some of the hands-on reviews that the top of it's touch sensitive for like volume and music controls.
Okay, that's cool. Yeah, just to have some basic controls on the top. I thought it looked really intriguing. Definitely going to get one. And I'm very curious to see how it sounds because the ECHO sounds fine, but it doesn't sound as good as I was hoping it would sound for the money. So definitely interested in the HomePod. What did you guys think about the name, by the way?
Lame.
Second that.
Yeah, HomePod, like, come on.
Like, everyone was getting, it was kind of like building up, right? And then he said the name of it, HomePod, and it was like, wah, 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 and like 10 people in the audience just kind of like clapped, golf claps, and it kind of lost steam at that point. I think he realized, maybe not the best name. Oh, well, I clowned on the iPad name for months and months when that came out, so I'm sure eventually we'll get used to it, and we won't think anything of it. As far as other hardware goes, we got KB Lake upgrades across pretty much the entire Mac line, exactly like we were talking about. And nothing really got changed. That's why they kind of cruised through it really fast. It was just those upgrades. For those wondering, I already had some people ask me on Twitter if I'm going to get the new MacBook Pro. I don't know. I'm still on the fence. I really wanted a price drop. It's tough. It's tough to spend $2,800 or $3,000 or however much it is after tax. I think it's in my state, it's close to $3,000 after tax. That's an expensive laptop. And to just get KB Lake, I don't know. I think that I might be waiting for Cannon Lake, which is the next Intel chip that will be coming out. Who knows when? Maybe in 6 months. I mean, who knows? With Apple updating these so quickly. So it's a good time to buy a Mac if you're in the market for one. Go for it. I'm still on the fence. It's a really tough call for me. I mean, you're losing so much. Again, you're losing all the legacy, I guess at this point, legacy I/O. You're losing MagSafe. So I'm not really gaining a lot performance-wise moving to KB Lake from my current MacBook Pro. So, but those looked cool. And then, of course, there was the big boy, the iMac Pro, which I somehow guessed the name of immediately preceding or right before they announced the actual iMac Pro. And as they were talking about it, I was thinking to myself, man, I actually might end up buying one of these. And then I found out it was going to cost the price of a used Subaru. And I was like, yeah, no, not going to do that. Looked amazing, though, didn't it?
Yeah. Especially in that black, you know, the space gray. Yeah, it looks really badass. It looked really fat, too. Do you see how chubby it was at the back?
Oh, did it have
looks
a
like
big
me
old
from
bootay?
The front. Yeah.
I didn't even notice that.
It was pretty rounded. Although, you know, the first thing I thought was like, you know, this thing, doesn't this suffer the same problem as the Mac Pro, which is it's unupgradable?
Yeah.
Yes, it does. And I actually saw some people complaining about that on Twitter. But, I mean, it's an iMac. What do you expect, right?
Well, yeah. Right. But, I mean, the whole point of a
$5,000 unupgradable professional machine.
Right, dude, which is exactly the same mistake they made with the Mac Pro. It's like, yeah, what the heck?
Right.
Yeah.
Especially when they said they were just gonna... like a tray or a slot at the side where you could just swap simple parts out. RAM, probably storage, CPU.
Well, that's the dual-edged sword of proprietary technology, right? It allows you to do amazing things, but you're the only one that can do them. So you can't upgrade any of the machinery inside because it's probably all laminated together and then glued and then dipped in resin and sealed off
But you would think, you know, if they make it upgradability a priority, then they could definitely still make it in an awesome, amazing package that, you know, you can upgrade yourself.
It would be cool. I wonder if you can upgrade the RAM at the very least. Do they solder those into the iMacs? I don't even know.
I think it's all soldered, yeah.
It probably
is.
Well,
even the RAM?
I don't know. I thought I saw some post that said there is no home repairs on it or something.
Well, I've got a 5K iMac, which is like 2013, I think, you know, so a couple of years old. But it's, you know, and you can definitely upgrade the RAM in that.
Well, now you have the opportunity to buy a 5K iMac for 5K.
that's
how much this thing costs. $5,000. I had my breath taken away a little bit when I saw that price. I was like, okay, this is definitely
for pros. More expensive than the Mac Pro, right? Like
I think
the most expensive.
I mean, at least the base model Mac Pro.
Yeah, the base model is way more expensive.
Yeah, you know, I would be curious to hear from pros. I wonder if there are any pros out there that got really excited about this. I mean, surely if you were editing videos and you're making stuff on YouTube and you're like Marques Brownlee or something, you're going to buy one of these and it's going to be great. But like, if you work at like Lucasfilm, like that, they brought that guy up on stage to talk about the new iMac Pro, and I'm like, I wonder if Lucasfilm would be buying something like this.
Yeah, they're probably going to wait for the new Mac Pro.
Yeah, you know? It seems like they would probably just wait for the new Mac Pro. Plus, I know like Industrial Light and Magic, they have like distributed computing, then distributed storage, you know, throughout their entire facility where, you know, a lot of like the major crunching happens on computers that aren't even your own. So I wonder how their network would handle something like this.
Yeah, but one thing that's worth discussing is like the Thunderbolt 3 ports, right? You know, the proposition for the Mac Pro back in the day was like, well, you don't need to upgrade it internally. You can upgrade it externally. You know, if you need to get more storage, you can just add a RAID if you need. And now you've got these new GPU, external GPUs, right? So if you need, you know, more graphics, you can just add an external GPU. So, you know, maybe there's an argument to be made that you don't need to upgrade the internals.
Problem with that logic is it doesn't really seem to have taken off. The external GPU thing is kind of new, and maybe that is going to take off, but it's certainly an expensive way to do it. You have to have the external GPU housing, and then you have to buy the GPUs themselves. I mean, so you're going to be making big investments to do that, and it seems like it's just a lot more cost efficient to just build it into the computer and have it be something that you can just swap out, you know?
Yeah, but you remember all the bitching about, you know, when the iPhone came out and people said, you can't swap its battery out. It's going to doom it. It's doomed because you can't swap the battery, and it turns out, no one actually swapped the battery. So, you know, I know that Apple does a lot of market research into like how many people actually do this kind of stuff.
And how many people just bitch about it like
I don't think it's like 99 to 1. Yeah.
Exactly. It's like all the people that bitch but actually never do it. Even we would probably never do it, but we still like to bitch about it.
Right, exactly.
It's like Apple's upgrade strategy is, if you want to upgrade it, buy a new one. You know?
Yeah.
Sell the old one, buy a new one, it'll cost you, you know, you'll pay for the difference pretty much.
And there's something to be said for that too, right? I mean,
yeah.
I mean, it's worked out pretty well. So I have a totally hermetically sealed MacBook Pro, and I don't even mind that I can't upgrade the RAM or anything. Although it is kind of expensive on the front end, I guess, and that's one of the things that's prohibiting me from buying a new MacBook
Pro. I don't know. I would have upgraded my SSD on my MacBook Pro if it was upgradable. I did that on like one of the first MacBooks I bought. So I think like your storage and your RAM, like those are things that would always be nice to be able to upgrade for anybody.
Yeah, I'm with
especially
you.
Like once your machine gets on its last legs, you double the RAM and it feels like a brand new machine, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think probably one of the reasons Apple doesn't let you do it is because that's how they get you to upgrade, right? Do you want a 512 gigabyte SSD? I mean, the amount they charge for those things and RAM too. Well, it feels expensive, even though I know they use like almost only the most premium parts.
Yeah, right. And actually, a good analogy is the iPad, the new iPad Pro, right? I mean, that thing comes with 64 gigabytes of RAM, which is crazy. double what it used to be before. That's the base.
It used to be the Max, remember?
Yeah, and that's the base models. And you would never think about, if you bought an iPad Pro, you'd never think about upgrading the CPU or the RAM in that, would you? You just take it as it is. And like you said, if when you need to upgrade, you go get a new one in a couple of years.
Speaking of that 10.5-inch iPad, we kind of glossed over it. Any takers on that? I was actually thinking I might be a new customer.
Yeah, it looked beautiful. So, I mean, it almost, that with iOS 11 makes me want to get the new iPad. But I wouldn't buy one until iOS 11 comes out.
Right.
Well, the beta comes out next week, so.
True.
Well,
it's already
for developers,
available.
Right? Yeah. Are you guys on the developer preview or the public beta?
I'm on the developer one.
Okay, that's why you're getting it. Because I was like, I'm on the public beta and I searched for iOS and it's not coming out, I guess, for a while.
Yeah, it's coming out later this month for the public.
Yeah, Lewis is so excited about it. He went and bought one at, you know, the minute they were announcing it.
He does a lot of stuff on his iPad Air. Like I think it had an iPad Air 2 or something like that.
I think he's been in the market for an upgrade, an iPad upgrade, and this was just so. He was just drooling. He was completely and utterly soaking wet. He was sitting in a puddle of drool.
He got wet beard.
Yeah.
Well, he has the goatee though, right?
He never does that though. Like Lewis just does not pull the trigger. He he's not an impulsive kind of guy. He would like weigh the pros and cons, but this thing, bang, you know, pull the trigger. He got out his credit card. He's in.
You know what's funny about Lewis is he's kind of a Luddite, and there have been episodes where I swear he has broadcast on the podcast. He's been using like a Pentium 4 PC from like 1994.
Windows 95.
He's told me about some of the gear that he's working with, and I was shocked.
Yeah.
And embarrassed.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what he's like. Yeah, he'll keep it until it dies.
He's the kind of guy who wears his underwear until there's so many holes that you absolutely have to throw away.
Well, let's not go there.
For the record, I am sure he has impeccable underpants. I have never seen them, so I have I have no evidence of that statement. Let's see. Anything else? Do we miss anything? Well, we missed
miss
everything.
Anything. I mean, we missed so everything. Stuff. There's tons
know,
of stuff
any,
to talk
any
about.
Any high-level stuff that you want to mention?
No. The machine learning stuff, I think, is a big deal.
Yeah.
Did we talk about that already?
No, we didn't talk about that at all. Go for it.
The new machine learning API opening up all this. Because, I mean, iOS is already chock full of machine learning as it is. And, you know, all the face recognition of photos, the motion tracking, and, you know, open up the API to developers. I mean, it's just, you know, it's eating everything. Machine learning is going to be in every single thing. Everything. It's crazy. You know, there's that phrase, Mark Andreessen said that software is going to eat the world. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, AI is eating software. It's becoming the dominant paradigm for every single thing. It's crazy.
We also had VR support. A ton of VR support announced with that new API that they talked about. And I was kind of blown away.
Do you like that VR stuff? It just does not float my boat at all.
Well, yeah. I think it's early days. And I think it was kind of a demonstration from Apple that they're clearly interested in the space and they're doing work behind the scenes to bolster what they're going to be capable of doing in the future. And I think that AR, especially, maybe not VR, virtual reality, but AR, which is what they showed today, the augmented reality, is going to be ubiquitous in the future. I think it's going to be everywhere. It's only a matter of time. It's just like Minority Report, to use your example from earlier. I mean, if you could have the blended reality where you can see everything, but then you also have like computer overlays, why would you not want that information displayed, you know, in a contextual fashion whenever you're out and about? Just in your normal life, I think it'd be super helpful. So yeah, I think that stuff is really cool. It really interests me. I want to see what they can do with it though, because right now, all you're seeing are, you know, like these silly examples where they put a coffee cup on a table and
The game looked really lame too, because you're like holding this big iPad up to your face, like while walking around this table on the room. I don't know if it made the experience any more immersive, really.
Yeah.
Plus, unless you have just the bulkiest. Of Steve Ballmer buys, you're not going to be able to hold something like that for more than like 2 or 3 minutes. Your arm's going to get so sore.
Yeah.
You're not going to be able to do it. There's no way Alex Heath could do that for more than like 30 seconds. Okay, other things. Other things you're excited for. We got anything else?
You know, Tim Cook looked great.
he looked fit as a fiddle, didn't he?
I was like, not only did he look really fit and thin, which made me really jealous and hate him, but he's really confident, you know. And I think it's Apple's really confident. You know, they were kind of quiet this last year, weren't they? Sort of, you know, there wasn't a lot going on. They updated the Mac Pros, they updated the Watch. You know, the iPhone 7 was a third generation iPhone 6. You know, it's like
there's
a lot of sort of pent up frustration, I think, with Apple, and a lot of people sort of felt they were like they were treading water, and then bang, boom. You know, like, oh my God, look all this work they've been doing in the background.
Yeah,
all this stuff that's going on behind the scenes, and then there's going to be huge updates to the iPhone this year. The iPhone, you know, whole new platform with the new iPhone. These new iPads look awesome. They finally made it kind of like a more like a pro machine. You know, it's just totally firing on all cylinders. And Tim Cook, you know, I think it's reflected in his demeanor. You know, he's so confident and he's very relaxed. You know, remember how wooden he used to be and how nervous it was?
Yeah.
Really, it was just awful right after Steve Jobs died. And now, you know, now he's really found his mojo.
Craig Federighi, this is some inside baseball here, but he also, he was looking pretty relaxed. He was having a great time. Yeah. And I don't know if anyone else noticed this but me, but he was doing the new thing with his hair. It was like more feathered than normal. And I was like, that's a, you go, girl. That's a good look for him. And he kept running his hand through it. And you know, he probably does that intentionally. It's probably rehearsed.
Yeah.
It's like all like the transitional moments. He wants to take your eyes off the screen. He just runs his hands through his hair and everyone oohs and ahs.
Yeah.
And then also there was another guy, I forget his name. He was doing the presentation for, I think he was doing the presentation for the MacBook Pros. And he was super relaxed, easygoing, easy to watch, very informative. He was probably one of the best people that they've had on stage in years. And there was a bunch of people that they had on stage for the first time today that I thought did a great job. It was really cool to just kind of see Apple do some more, bring some more people on stage that you'd never heard from before.
Yeah, but not...
What?
Well, not a lot of women, and no one of color, right? So
but there was an Asian lady. She was pregnant.
Asian lady. And then pregnant Asian lady on stage.
Pregnant Asian
later.
Lady. They covered like three boxes on the diversity checkboard thing.
Yeah, they did.
So
they did. I just think it's cool to give more people a chance. And it's not just Eddie Q up there and Bob Mansfield, who I miss, by the way.
I miss Bob. I do not miss Eddie ever.
Yeah. Well, they brought out Uber Eddie, that guy, Jaws, what's his name?
Yeah,
Jaws is fine. I hate Kevin Lynch, too. I don't get why they bring him
WatchOS. Kevin Lynch.
He did the WatchOS stuff, and he's just such a nerd, man. Like,
he reminds me of my neighbor. He looks exactly like him. He's very soft-spoken, just like him.
I'm sure he's a great guy, but he's just not... He doesn't exude Apple coolness or have any type of swagger. Like the other,
he's super hipster though. He's super hipster.
I don't know about that. No, he's right. He's got that nerd vibe, but that's what I like about him. He's a nerd, you know.
Yeah, he's really into that watch.
Leander.
Okay. Is there anything else? Oh, one other feature I was going to mention that I forgot, and they glossed over this real quick, and no one cares about this but me. Well, maybe a handful of you out there, so it's worth mentioning. Is one of my biggest picadillos with iCloud storage. Is the fact that when you pay for more storage, it's only available in a silo for your device or your devices that you pay for. It's not shareable amongst your family members, the people that you're sharing your iCloud features with. And they announced in a slide that there was going to be family storage available.
Yeah.
And they didn't even say anything about it. I don't know any details at all. I don't know how much it's going to cost or if it's truly family storage where you could pay for 10 gigs and share it with your sister, your brother, your wife, your, you know, sons or whatever. But that's what we need. You need to have a pool of storage that can be shared across all the people that you are sharing iCloud storage with and have them all be able to use that same amount of space without having to buy, you know, 10 gigs for your mom, 5 gigs for your dad, and it doesn't make any sense to do it that way. So I was really happy to see that. Are there any other high-level features that you guys wanted to mention before we wrap it up?
QR code scanning in the camera app.
Actually, that was cool.
NFC is now open to third party, so you can like...
Wait, what?
Yeah, you can connect to devices over NFC now.
Hoo-ah! I missed that one.
It was on that same slide that you're talking about with the iCloud family storage. There are lots of little
things. It's about... I'm sorry. Let me interrupt you for 10 seconds. It's about time they added that. That's something they've had available on Android forever, and there's all these cool gadgets that you can interact with that that need NFC compatibility, and the iPhone has NFC. They just have never opened it up to developers. I don't know why.
Yeah, so it's about to get way nerdier with the iPhone with QR codes, NFC. Can type to Siri instead of talking to it all the time, so that's kind of nice, like if you're in public and use Siri a lot.
Oh, I didn't catch that one either. Yeah. Well, let me just run through all the really high level stuff. I should have done this at the beginning, but we'll wrap up with this. So just so you know, here's all the stuff that we got today. We got an Watch OS 4 update, a music revamp for Apple Watch, Mac OS High Sierra. I'm sure Buster was all about that.
It's such a lame name.
Buster's like, I've been using Sierra High for years, man. He didn't know what the big deal was about. And then APFS for Mac, which I know some serious geeks were excited about. We got the iMac updates, MacBook Pro updates, the iMac Pro tees, the Metal 2 developer kit reveal, VR support for Mac, iOS 11, AirPlay 2, which no attention at all. AirPlay 2, they just completely glossed over it and moved on because no time. The App Store redesign, which, you know what? Let's stop here for a minute. Did you guys think it looked cool?
I thought it looked so ugly. Like, the information is way less dense, so, like, finding each app, like, takes up the whole screen while you're browsing it. And
that was exactly how I felt about it. I feel like they put a lot of focus on very few things. So now, in order to do discovery, you're gonna have to scroll through
so
a lot
much
more
scrolling.
Stuff.
Yeah, like they should have we'll made see. It like
we'll
way
see.
More
I mean,
compact.
Who knows? Once we actually have had a chance to test it, we'll see about that. Do not disturb mode for iOS. New map, iOS map features. The Siri revamp. Control center redesign. Apple Pay, person to person transactions. The new 10.5 inch iPad Pro. And the HomePod, which looks like a giant thing of twine, rolled up twine with a speaker on the top of it. And if you think I'm joking, just go Google twine
ball
spool.
Ball of twine.
Yeah, it looks exactly like that. That's it. That's we could go into more detail. We can, but we don't want to lose steam. And we'll have way more to say on all this stuff in future episodes, but we wanted to come and do an episode for you guys right after, so it was fresh and we were still excited and not completely jaded, as we'll be probably by Thursday, about all this stuff. This is the only show that we're going to release this week. If you're curious if we're going to have a Thursday show, this is the Thursday show. We're just releasing it early. With all that said, that's all the podcasts we have for you guys this week. If you want to come tell us about what you thought about WWDC, I would genuinely be curious to hear. What was your favorite device? What did you think was lame? What were you hoping they were going to announce? They didn't. I'm at Airfun, Buster's BST3RLE. Ander is L. Caney. This has been the Cultcast, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys next time. Ander, how many drinks are you going to have tonight? 30? 40? No, you're not going to have a single drink.
I gave up drinking, I told you.
You say that every weekend.
No. Yeah, no, that's it.
Sound good?
Yeah.
Okay. So everyone, turn my voice down as low as you can tolerate it. Well, as low as it needs to be, I should say, so you can actually hear me. Those are two different levels.
Right, exactly.
One is you can't hear me, and one is you can barely hear me.
Yeah.